Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 140 for Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019. And on tonight's podcast, we got TCU Hall of Famer W.C. Nix. What's up, Dubber?
Woo! Just living the dream. I guess we'll be dreaming about next year now.
That was a good woo. I like that. We're getting close to baseball season, so.
Yeah.
Make sure you hold a little bit of that woo back, says.
We'll use a little bit
of that in the future. We also have TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. Hey, Shannon.
How's it going, everybody?
Man, I like great. That cigar you're smoking. What is that?
That is a Rocky Patel.
Man, you're making me jealous. I can't go out back tonight. It's too cold. I don't have the luxury of a space heater like you, man.
I told you, the dungeon is the man cave. I'm in the garage.
Yeah. Just don't smoke too close to the gasoline tank. Also on tonight's podcast is Hunter Nix. What's up, Hunter?
What's going on? Just enjoying my time pursuing other interests.
Yeah. We'll get into what caused that extra time in a minute. But, yeah, I know what you mean. I got a honey-do list now I have to jump on. So Coach P knows something about that. Also joining us tonight is Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
I got my computer to stop freaking out, so we're all good.
Well, there you go. it's a lot of fun. Usually there's at least one technical error, so hopefully you got past that, and hopefully we're smooth sailing from here on out for the rest of the
night. First time all year, so we're good.
Oh, there Nate, you go.
I could shave, Nathan, but you're not slick, man. You look like you're like 20.
I know.
I had one of my friend's sisters asked me how I managed to age younger, so.
I like it.
It's a gift.
It reminds me of that meme where you have the big burly woodsman, you know, and he starts to shave, and then when he gets done, he looks like a baby.
That's pretty much it
right there, man. So looks good, suits you. I'm sure you're getting carded everywhere you go.
I got that beforehand too.
Well, starting out tonight, we're going to talk a little bit of recruiting news. Then we will talk about that final game of the season against West Virginia. And then we'll talk a little bit about speculation here as the season comes to an end. Unfortunately, prematurely for the Frogs. But before we get to that, let's go ahead and go to Hunter and talk a little bit about recruiting.
All right. So, you know, last week we had the big commitment from Garrett Hayes, which was huge. You know, top recruit, number two recruit all time for TCU. That's a huge one. But this week we've had some movement with a safety from Louisiana. He's a top 300 guy. He's a 4-star, and he had been committed to Virginia. And there's been about 4 crystal balls of him to us recently. So it looks like we're gonna get Bud Clark, who is a really good 4-star safety out of Louisiana. So that's just another one of those Louisiana pipelines we've got going on there. And then
so that big win over Virginia Tech didn't change his mind at all then?
I don't think so. I think it may have done the opposite. You know, he's pretty much gone from there as far as we know. And, you know, it seems like it's just waiting for him to make the actual decision. But all the recruiting guys are, you know, Virginia's guy and ours are saying he's come to be a Frog. And then also we've got a couple bigger offers that we've put out recently, which were Chandler Morris at quarterback, son of Chad Morris, who is previously the Arkansas head coach. He was previously committed to Arkansas, and now he's looking around. And supposedly we are visiting him this week. So hopefully we know a little bit more about that later on. Yeah,
there's a lot of rumors going on that particular offer was to possibly entice his dad. So how much stock you put into that?
From what – I think that's bogus. I think we just need another quarterback at this point. We've had a lot of attrition in the room, and, I mean, he's not going to Arkansas for sure. So, you know. And then also from that Arkansas class, though, we offered him and the big tight end from there who's got offers from – I mean, you look at his offer list, it's like Bama, LSU. I mean, he's got every big school in the country, and he's from McKinney North, I believe. Yeah, Brandon Frazier. He's a – big athlete, kind of plays like H-back, tight end for them in that offense, and they get him the ball a whole lot. So
he was really good in the Mummy.
Yeah, very, very good in the Mummy, Blast from the Past, and also tight end.
Encino Man. Brilliant.
Haven't thought about that one in a while.
Most people don't.
Yeah, but so we've got a couple of big offers out there, but really just kind of filling the rest of the class at the moment. I could see us going after a couple of bigger DNs after we lost Sylvester, who did commit to Baylor pretty much right after he decommitted from us. But yeah, all in all, we've got a pretty good class, just a small one.
Yeah, that was a really kind of weird situation there with the decommit and then immediately going straight to Baylor. You know, going straight to Waco, obviously, is always a weird thing to do. But did you hear anything more about that?
There's always speculation, but the guy's recruiting numbers have moved down a lot. As a sophomore, he was offered by everyone in the country, you know, Bama, LSU, all the big schools, A&M, us. He commits, but he never really seemed to be fully committed. In September or early October, he posted a decommitment online and then retracted it pretty quick. So I don't think I think we've known he might have been out of the fold for a while. It was just kind of, you know, we were keeping him until maybe something else better came along.
His heart maybe wasn't in it.
A ring or something.
Yeah, exactly. So he wasn't really that committed. And you know how we don't really do that for recruits. We don't let them look around. You're either committed or you aren't. So
absolutely. Well, speaking of being committed, I think a lot of us were about to check into the Looney Bin after that game on Friday. I almost said Saturday, but it was a Friday night game. Friday afternoon game, excuse me, against West Virginia to close out the season. TCU goes into the game, needed a win to make it to the bowl game. And unfortunately, the 5-7 Mountaineers, or 4-7 at the time, come in and knock off the Frogs in a late game comeback and ends the season prematurely. As Hunter mentioned earlier, we now all have a little bit of extra time on our hands. And let's talk a little bit about this game. And Dubber, let's start with you. What were some of the surprises for you on Friday?
Well, I don't know if it's just total surprise. We still had a hard time moving the ball, you know, running game. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, we just tore it up. I mean, it's just the same old stuff. I mean, you know, and then big mistakes and big plays at the wrong time, you know. I kept telling somebody, you know, we just need that second score. We need the two score lead, you know, whether it's 10 points, whether it's 9 points, whether it was whatever. And, you know, we just never got there. I didn't feel good about it all. I just kept thinking, we let them hang around. And we let them hang around until, you know, it takes that one big play, you know, that happened at the end, which, you know, they did it against our best player, I mean, our best defender. But, I mean, that's a perfect pass, perfect throw, and that happens to everybody, you know. But that's what happens when you let people hang around and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, I just feel like we were patchworking our offensive line, and they had a lot of trouble last part of the year. And I just don't think, you know, it's one of them years we just couldn't get over the hump.
Yeah, and this was a game that I think this is the third game of the season where Patterson's defense holds the Mountaineers to under 300 yards on the game, and we lose. It's the third time we've lost a game like that this season, which is atypical for a Gary Patterson defense. And Shannon, you know, it seemed that there was a lot of talk about this throughout the game. It's like, is it the defense is giving up the big plays at the wrong time, or is it just the offense is just not helping out the defense?
Little boat, buddy. Like I've said all year long, I call us a roller coaster team. When we're up, we're up, but when we're down, it's down. And we just can't seem – there's never that, you know, I can't remember, and you guys probably have to remind me, but what game do we know where, you know, the offense is really supporting the defense and giving those guys a comeback and make some plays or vice versa? We just never had it that way. And Saturday, I mean, when you're at the house, your last game, I just seem like we just ran out of gas. It's just like I didn't see anybody trying to play to get to that bowl game. I mean, you got to win that game. It's West Virginia. You know they're going to give us the best shot. And it was a deflating game to me. And so we just didn't make enough plays on either side of the ball. Bottom line, we didn't make enough plays on either side of the ball, and it cost us a bowl spot.
Yeah, and it was going back to the play that Deborah was mentioning about the big play against our best guy, Gladney. I mean, it was like the SMU game all over again, just at the wrong time. And where you had Bouchel making pass after pass after pass, hitting perfect passes and good coverage. Here you have West Virginia makes a perfect pass against Gladney. Bit of a push off there by the wide receiver. Obviously wasn't called, not a big deal. But still, great coverage by Gladney. Just perfect pass, couldn't defend against it. But in that case, offensively, though, Nathan, didn't see anything like that at all from the TCU offense all game long. It didn't seem like anybody was in sync. Didn't seem like the receivers were in sync with Duggan. Duggan just didn't have the touch on the ball that he needed. And the running game just couldn't get started. I don't know if that was just because of the line or just too many, handoffs that started a dance party. I don't know what it was, but what did you see offensively?
We just continuously shot ourselves in the foot. We'd get a positive play and it's coming back because of a holding call or false start or something. And just every single time we had something positive go. And it was honestly just kind of the same for the defense at the end in that last series before they even had the touchdown. We had two chances to end the series, and we gave them first down, a fresh set of downs. But I just think – and it kind of happened all season where we just continuously shot ourselves in the foot anytime we started to get some momentum. And ultimately we ended up losing because of it because we couldn't get any points, like WC said. If we managed to get even 3 points, that's a momentum swing right there, but – nothing if you're continuously shooting yourself in the foot.
Well, you talk about giving them a fresh set of downs, constantly shooting ourselves in the foot. And Hunter, that's kind of indicative of a poorly coached team.
It seems like we did a lot of the same things over and over this year, and that's what made you so upset during the season. You saw we have a lot of talent. You think about losing one or two of those small mistakes a game, that really changes, that may lead to 4 or 5 more wins. And we look at this team not as a non-bowl team, but as a team that, is looking at being at the top of the conference. And that's what happens when you lose 6 games by 7 points or less. You can't make those mistakes down the stretch, and we continually did it. We're a young team. We're young. I think there's a lot of room for improvement, and I feel comfortable with the guys that are coming back. It's just we were young, and, I think it may be better for us. Put a little chip on our shoulder. Maybe we don't make it to a bowl this year. Remind them all summer and all spring how, they weren't good enough. It didn't, you got to finish that last little push, and I think, in the end, this could be a good thing for us.
Well, let me – sorry, go ahead, Deborah.
Another thing, I think, Shannon said this way back earlier in the season that I've thought it the whole way too. Just not enough leaders either. I mean, just not enough.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that has, you're young at some critical spots. And so those critical spots, they're usually your leadership, and I just didn't see that a whole lot. I just didn't see. You'd see it a little bit, but you didn't ever see it just over the top where, and there's a difference. There's a difference between great athletes and leaders. I mean, that now if you get a great athlete that is a leader, then you got something special. But a lot of times the great athletes aren't leaders and are really good athletes aren't leaders. And so I just felt like this year we just didn't have, them people that I thought that was and as sad as that is, I think that, hopefully next year, the year after, we could start to develop in some more of that because, I mean, man, that, as a player, you don't realize, I guess as a player I did, I realized how crucial that is. You got to have leaders. You got to have some leaders that, some tough spots, when you're sitting there, like Nathan was talking about, if we just, like we were talking, if you just get another score and 3 points, anything, that's that leadership coming over to the sideline and rapping, all the offensive line coaches, I mean, all the offense around and getting in their grill, you know, and stuff like that. And I promise you, I sat over there, you know, pretty close to the bench, and I just never saw any of that. I never saw any of that urgency and, you know, just that somebody getting in somebody's grill about, hey, we got to get over the hump here.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it at all.
I want to piggyback off that because one of the things I believe we all have, whatever we believe in that a football team should have. My belief is, to your point, you got to have leaders, but also you got to have a guys that'll get out there, whether they play or not, and really be in tune for four quarters on the sideline. And we used to preach that. Coach, all our coaches, head coaches, they preach stay in the game, cheer your team on. Keep them, when you're not playing, keep them pumped up. There's a reason why Landry Burdine was the captain in the Sun Bowl. And the reason why, and he was a walk-on. And you guys know, like I know, Dub, so you know, we don't really hang with walk-ons. But Landry Burdine was a guy who hung with all starters, and we were friends to this day because one thing he would do in the locker room, and we were down a lot of that 1-10 season, he would keep us pumped up. He would get in people's faces. And it's little Burdine. And he would literally, there'd be games where he would fire us up, and we'd come out of the third quarter and start dominating. And he didn't have much to do with the team, but he made plays as a guy who's with me and him, probably the shortest guys on the football field. But his energy, his leadership was contagious, and we all rallied around that. I didn't see any of that. You never saw one guy on the sideline getting in people's butt, getting in their face, let's go fight them. You saw a lot of long faces. You saw everybody sitting on his bench looking like, what the hell's going on? Where in the world went? That's what you've seen all year. And the thing about it, front runners can get all up and cheer and all that shit when we score and when we're doing good. But when we're down, you never saw none of that. You never saw it. And that's what you got to have. And if we don't get that with all the talent we have, we'll be the same team next year. I swear, Boys and Frogs are killing me.
I was going to say, it's like, as much as it sucks to admit, it's very much like the 4-8 season. And we've kind of brought this up in the past, but it's I just see so many similarities that 4-8 season back in 2013. Mm-hmm. We had an all-conference corner, Gladney, and even honestly J. Lou. And then same thing with Verrett. We had an all-conference D lineman in Blacklock, and then back then Devontae Fields. We had an all-conference wide receiver. A little different situation in why they're leaving between Rager and Brandon Carter, but it's just one of those things where, like, we had so many people that could make plays at any given time, but nobody wanted to step up and lead. And I'm not saying that nobody did. I wasn't in the locker room during, like, halftimes, pregames, all that stuff this season. And I'm not saying those people didn't, but there wasn't enough of it. And so those guys are all leaving. And now somebody's got to step up, going back to what WC was saying. But the good thing is we've all seen Coach Patterson. He's not going anywhere. This is his third time in 22 years not going to a bowl game. He's not going anywhere. And the good thing about that is I was there for after the 4-8 season. He's going to clean house. He's going to – if you don't want to be there, he's going to get rid of you. He's going to – and it's not going to be like, hey, like, you need to leave. It's going to be – this is going to absolutely suck, and if you don't like it, you can get out. I don't care. There's a door. And so that's what's going to – I feel like that's the good thing about this is going back to what Hunter was saying is this summer, this off season, as soon as they get back in January, it's going to suck. And honestly, it's a good thing for it because it'll weed out so many people that are just there because they just want the name on their chest or on their back, whatever. So that's why I'm hopeful. Like, it sucks that they didn't go to a bowl game. I've got friends on that team. Like, I don't want to see them not go to a bowl game, but it will light that fire underneath them. Nobody wants to stay home in December.
Well, you bring up a good point, going back to kind of what Hunter was talking about too. Thinking about the fact that this is a team that outside of that Iowa State game, very similar to that 2013 season that you were talking about, Nathan. And I want to ask you about that because in 2013, as fans, I mean, Dubber, you remember this, we were talking about this. It just, there were times we're thinking Boykin should go back to being a wide receiver, right? Or Boykin should be a running back. We don't want him as our quarterback. Offensive line was in disarray. We had no idea what was going to go, what was going to happen in the defensive backfield going into 2014. We certainly, as Shannon just mentioned, we certainly didn't see any leadership on that team at all. And we're all kind of sitting around going, what's going to happen? So my question to you, Nathan, you obviously come in and you're part of that 2014 team that obviously made a huge turnaround. What was the leadership like in the locker room, at halftime, on the sideline in that 2014 team?
I'm trying to think of a good example. First off, coaches honestly really didn't even need to say anything at some points. It was all athlete-led leadership. But there was one distinct kind of like telltale that like gave away that that team was legitimately good and cared about what they were doing was – after the Baylor game, nobody said a word. After that, we lost in the, at Baylor. When we blew the 3-touchdown lead, like nobody said a word. People were crying in the locker room. You could just tell that it meant more compared to the 2013 season when we lost. People were going out the next night, like, or that night, even after we lose. And like it sucks because, I mean, like obviously they want to enjoy themselves, but at the same time, it's like, I hate losing. Like I hate losing more than I like winning. After I lose, I don't want to do crap. And so you definitely saw that transition of people actually cared and it showed because the stuff they did in 2013 after a loss was not the same stuff that they'd be doing after a loss in 2014. And even like a couple, I think it was the year we went 6-7, there was one game where we were coming back from a loss and people were goofing around on the bus a little too much. And like coaches obviously noticed that. And they noticed when y'all aren't taking a loss very seriously and when it doesn't hurt you. So that's the big difference between that 2013-2014 season was you could see it in the way that we lost and handled our losses.
Well, and hopefully that's going to be the same case in the 2020 team, because obviously we didn't see a lot of that, if any, in this season. Dubber, you made a really good point. You're right up there by the bench. And, you know, Nathan and I are up in the press box. And I'm not saying that to go like, haha, we're in the press box. I'm just saying that from the standpoint of, you know, we can't really see what's going on down on the sideline every single time. You're a lot closer there. It did seem, even from the press box, it did seem that sideline was pretty much dead all season long.
Yeah. I mean, I saw one guy Saturday running up and down, trying to do something. But besides that, you know, I just didn't see it. You know, sometimes you get that. All of a sudden, you get in a lull where all of a sudden all the stars line up. And all of a sudden, you don't have any leaders in the right spot. And like Shannon's saying, a leader doesn't have to be necessarily a starter. I mean, this and that. Leader's just somebody that got the good of the team and got the respect of the team and can get out there and say things and do things to make to keep everybody engaged and stuff like that. You know, the good thing is I do believe there's leaders on that team. Mm-hmm. And I think they're young. I think there's some people I think I agree with Nathan that come – you know, spring, like I said, you're going to find out who, if you used to winning, you don't like losing. And, you know, them people that don't like losing, that usually, you know, has a tendency to take care of itself. And if you have a coaching staff, and we do have a good coaching staff, that's not used to losing. And nobody's going to like it. So it's not going to be a cakewalk, I don't think. And it shouldn't be, you know. I mean, you know, we've set a high standard I just think it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be an interesting offseason.
Well, Shannon, real quick on that, let's go back to that 1-10 season. I know you don't like to revisit that, but let's go back to that for a moment. Because here's a season that we obviously – it wasn't like this season where we were competitive in pretty much every game. I mean, we went down to Rice and got our butts handed to us. So there was a night and day difference as far as what was going on in the field. But we did miss a bowl, but we did have one good win against a rival like we did this year. How did that season not getting to a bowl affect you guys coming back the next season?
It made us hungry, because here's the deal about the – and I don't take the I believe we don't have that 1-10 season. You know, we don't – we're not where we are today from a standpoint of there was a young – we were young, and we had leader, you know, the LTs, the Shobles, you know, Curtis, and there was a lot of us. And we felt like we were in a lot of those games. Now, there's some games where we just got our butts handed to us. But when you're playing North Carolina and Utah and some of these teams that were pretty good, we were in those games for the most part because people looked down on us because we're just little old TCU. And so we would battle. So when we lost in that SMU, that game that we won the last game, it sparked something in us. And we knew we were getting a new coaching staff. And it was when we went to spring ball, we knew we were going to be a sophomore team. And we had a bunch of leaders, though. We had leaders, and the guys that were seniors taught us how to be leaders. They were vocal. They were very vocal. I mean, I've seen, God rest his soul, Coach Sullivan and Coach Bennett go to blows in the locker room in Vanderbilt. That's passion. That's leader. To us, we had to break them guys up. But that fired us up. And so that all carried into the spring, and we battled. We had a hell of a spring. And as you know, Coach Friend came in, we go six games, and all that to me prepped us for that U.S., that Sun Bowl. And when we got in that Sun Bowl, it clicked, and it will click. And when it clicked again, it's 21-0 halftime, and we roll, and there you go. TCU's off and running to the point to where we are now. So there's some good that can come out of it, guys. I mean, if they take the spring series, we get the right pieces, we recruit the right people to come in. Some of these young kids grow up. I think maybe we're so young, we're scared to step on toes. Freshmen are too scared to be vocal and really show maybe coming from high school where they were the leaders. But now you got a bunch of leaders. Somebody's got to step up and be the guy. I don't care if it's 4, 5, 3, 2, whatever it's going to be, 10. Step up, be leaders this spring, get vocal, get in people's faith. Ball until you fall. That's how we said, ball until you fall. Mm-hmm. Levi's up, and I promise you, it'll carry over to the season. That shit is contagious, excuse me, French, but it will carry over to the season. We will see it.
Hunter, you were a student leader. You agree?
I do. I mean, I was one of those. I was voted the leadership council, and I hardly played. I've put a lot into the leadership of it all. And, I mean, I've been on very bad teams with really bad leadership. And you can tell the difference. You know, there was not a talent gap between some of those years. You know, one year we went to the bowl. The next year we returned almost all our starters, and we win 3 games. So, you know, talent isn't always what it is. Sometimes you got to have, I mean, all the time, especially in a case like us, you've got to have leaders step up. And I just don't think we had it. You know, towards the end of the year, I think Max started getting more and more, but, you know, he's still a true freshman. Not saying that he wasn't a good leader, but he's still a true freshman. I mean, you know, it's just hard to step into that locker room and be the guy. And, you know, he had a lot put on his shoulders this year. So I think we'll see a huge improvement in that next year. And, you know, hopefully we dwell on this every day. I hope every day they're reminded they lost 7 games last year, because it's just going to make you work harder. And it's just how it's got to be.
Hey, Deborah.
I hope they remember that they lost 7 games, but I hope they also remember 6 of them were by 7 points or less.
For sure.
Yeah. Being a winner this year, mm-hmm. being 5-17, where you're talking about, like we were talking about, I think Hunter said it, maybe, you know, just a few plays.
Yep.
Just a few plays here and there, you know. You know, so, you know, as far as the line, offensive line, I hope it just seemed like this year that they were learning. I mean, a lot of them. I know the tackles were good. We lost. Of course, then we lost a good tackle, and then you know, we had another one beat up pretty much all year, and we were down to a fourth string tackle. But we just – boy, we never gelled. It just seemed like we did – I mean, the first year we were gelling, and then we just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to see – I hope some of them younger guys – I want to see some offensive linemen with some grit.
Yep.
I think that's something that they got to have. And I just, you know, I've always told you, I like to see them guys that finish blocks and they do it right up till the whistle blows. And they're the kind of guys that defensive line don't like because the way they do it, well, to me, that's good offensive lineman. And I never saw that all year long. I just never saw You know, I was sitting there, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I was watching one of the Office Live the other day. Athletic is all get out, takes off, does a little like a little combo block, boom, he does it, gets to the next level, boom. Sheesh, running back got by, and he just kind of stopped. And it's funny, I mean, the guy actually came back underneath him and helped make the play, and I'm thinking, dude, there shouldn't be no stopping. He should have took that second level guy and tried to put him in the ground. That's yep. just the way I look at it.
Right.
And we never had that on the offensive line all year long. We just never had athletic guys, but nobody that just took that pride and just, hey, forget that. Let's bury that dude. I'm gonna bury him every play I can. If I can do it every play, I'm gonna do it right up to the whistle. Referee's gonna have to come up and tell me now, no, my son, you're getting real close. You know, when they tell me that a couple of times, then I'm good. You know,
I don't think TCU has that luxury anymore. I think they just call everything on us now.
well, we see like we took some lumps in that area too this year, but still, I just didn't see that. You know, in years past, I have seen that some, but this year, I just never saw it.
I think as well.
Like Hunter said, there's a big difference between, you know, all them guys were athletic as all get out. No problem with the athletic ability. No problem with mindset.
I think losing Niang, we definitely saw on the field what it was, but I think that could have been bigger just as far as the cohesion of the group than almost anything, just because, you know, Texas was the last game we played, and that was kind of the last game it seemed like we imposed our will on anybody. So I'm not saying it, you know, maybe not just from the playing standpoint of Niang, but as far as leadership as well, he'd been, you know, kind of the mainstay of this line. And then the rest of the guys had played maybe a year or two, but he's been around the longest.
Yeah.
And losing him, I think, was a lot bigger than we ever thought.
Yeah, that is probably true. Probably
well, true. And Deborah, let me ask you this, because, you know, there's a lot of, I won't say speculation. There's a lot of people that are asking questions, obviously, about what went wrong with the offense. And having Max not the clear starter from the very beginning, splitting time mm-hmm. with Dalton, not getting all the snaps with the ones. Obviously, there was some miscommunication between him and the wide receivers. But as an offensive lineman, how much does that play into how you prep and how you play when you are taking snaps and learning how one quarterback works? And then another quarterback comes in who's a completely different style, a completely different scrambler, doesn't scramble at all. How much does that play into a group like this that has to work around being a patchwork kind of a unit, and now they're having to deal with, they don't know who is going to be the quarterback, and they don't have that consistency in practice?
Well, you know, I guess there's some with the center and the quarterback, but really, to me, more than that, it's just the patchwork between five guys up front. I mean, you start losing guys up there. That's worse than the quarterback almost for them. You know, if you're used to an offensive guard, you sit there and you play, you're the center, and you play beside that offensive guard for 2 years, and you know exactly how he's going to step, you step, this, that, and all of a sudden he's out. And another guy gets in there, that's where the big problem comes in communication stuff. You know, the quarterback, yes, maybe the snap counts and stuff like that you got to get used to, you know. But, heck, you know, Dugan, I mean, he really helped him with his legs. I mean, he made him look better. But I look at it more as, maybe it's just because they got beat up in the offensive line, shuffling them around and bringing one over to one side. You know, you sit there and you practice these combo blocks and get to the next level. Well, you know, I saw several times this year where, you know, two of them would get on one guy and they'd both let that guy go thinking that the other one had it. That's where our problems came. Wasn't really quarterback, I thought more it was just inconsistency of the lines, like, totally.
Well, hopefully we can get over this hump and get through this for next season, because this season was not a joy to sit through if you were a fan. And now that the season is officially over, there is some additional news. As of today, Jalen Reagor has announced he is going pro. Hunter, what's the story on this?
Okay, well, first off, we need to just look back at all he's done. Over our time here, this is one of the best receivers in TCU history. He's second all-time in TDs with 22, sixth in yards of 2,248, and seventh in receptions with 148. The dude did everything at TCU that you could ever want to do other than win it all. Or win a, you know, it, individually, he's done everything you could ever want to do. The guy had a great career here, and wish him well on his way to go make a lot of money. Because he's going to get drafted in the first two rounds. But I will say this. He did not have maybe the best leaving words for everyone on the staff. You know, he thanked TCU, thanked Coach Patterson, thanked Coach Kelly, who's the receivers coach, and he definitely left out one big person there, and that's Coach Cumby. He said Coach P, Coach Kelly, and many others. It's a little weird to me that he did not mention the OC. But you know, at the end of the day, I get it. The guy, you know, the guy had one of the best seasons in TCU history last year, and this year we couldn't seem to get him the ball. And so, you know, I wish him well, and he's gonna hopefully makes us look good in the next level.
Well, you know, it wasn't for lack of trying, because nearly 25%, nearly one of every four balls that was thrown this season was targeted for Rager.
For sure.
That's a huge amount of opportunities that you're throwing at one
large,
guy.
Large amount.
And unfortunately, he was only able to come down with around 40% of those. Not all of them, of course, were good passes or even possible for him to even get under. But that is a problem. Of course, six fumbles on the season.
No doubt.
Yeah, he had some troubles with this season. So I think a lot of TCU fans were expecting him to go. I think there are a few others that are still a little surprised that he didn't want to come back and try to improve his stock a little bit, especially considering how stacked the wide receiver class is going to be this year in the draft.
I'll say to those people, I don't, you know, no disrespect to anyone, but Rager is going to run a 4.3 at the combine. He's going to jump out the roof. He was the number one long jumper in the country coming out of high school. He's an elite athlete. He's going to go out there and probably test the best of any wide receiver in the country. Yeah. And once that happens, I mean, the sky's the limit for him. I hope he gets into day one, because there's a very good chance of it. Once he goes out and runs a 4.3 and jumps 40 plus inches and broad jumps the farthest of anyone there, I mean, the dude is an elite athlete, probably one of the best athletes to come through TCU ever. And I mean, he's going to be one of the top athletes in this whole class.
Yeah, I agree. His 40 time will get him first day alone.
Yep.
He's a hell of an athlete. I'm sure, and I hope this is the part where I hope he has the right people in his ear. You know, there's a you know, it's a double-edged sword sometimes, and I don't know his background, I don't know where he's from and all that stuff, but a lot of times a lot of these kids are from you know, hard areas, family need, you know, they need help, and if he can go run a 4.3, low 4.3 and jump out of the building, you know, his stock's gonna go through the roof. Mm-hmm. And a good NFL prospect. I think the fumbles and stuff, they'll deal with that, and he's yep. He'll be a hell of a special teams guy. He may be a slot receiver type of guy for his height, but he's one of those you're gonna have to respect his speed, and we all know NFL is about speed. You run that 40 the right way, you're good.
Yeah.
Well, his dad played in the NFL
for 10 years.
He understands that part of it. I just think I'm with Shannon. I'm just telling you right now, they're gonna look at it all, and you know he's a strong kid. If you look at how he ran the football, he don't run it like a lot of wide receivers. I mean, he's tough to break down. He's strong. He runs.
Mm-hmm.
He runs. I mean, he's a punishing runner. I mean, it's funny for a wide receiver. He is punishing. I mean, and I just think I'm right there on board. I mean, I think somebody will pick him up pretty quick. Because I think he's going to show that he's got great hands. I think when it's all said and done, you know, I think he tried hard, maybe sometimes too hard. And, you know, sometimes that gets you in trouble.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Knowing his background, there's no way to me that his dad's not done due diligence. I mean, he was a scout in the league for a little while as well. So he knows people in the NFL. There is no way he did not get a good grade. They've done their due diligence. His dad was in the league for 10 years. He's won a Super Bowl. They know what they're doing. this guy knows exactly what he's looking in for. There are people who have mentioned, you know, guys who have come out like Chris Hackett and stuff like that. Chris Hackett was a good college football player, but Chris Hackett was no elite athlete like Jalen Reagor. Jalen Reagor is a legit day one guy, and I mean he's gonna get drafted high. They did their homework on this.
Yeah, I think his numbers at the combine are definitely going to put him in what would be typically a first round situation, but you know the scouting report on him is not favorable in the cons, because they're, you know, they talk about the fact that, you know, his ball skills and the fact that team sources have stated that he just doesn't know how to run a route, which, you know, if you look at the tape this season, I think that was one of the things that a lot of the fans had problems with. He seemed to quit on routes or didn't run the right route or whatever the case may be, but for the NFL scouting report to have that on him, he's going to have to really show something at the combine more than just numbers and high jump. He's going to have to do something that really kind of dispels kind of this bit of rumor that he has ball handling problems and or route running problems or can't pick up whatever's going on in the playbook. But he's got time to do it. Like you said, his dad certainly can help coach him up on that if that is a weakness. And he should know if that's the case, because, like you said, his background in the NFL and as a scout, he should have all that information in front of him. So wish the young man all the luck in the world, and hopefully we'll see him playing on Sundays along with all the other Frogs that are in the NFL.
There's only one other one I'm worried about. I don't even want to bring it up just because, you know, I know he can go, but I hope he doesn't, and that's Blacklock.
Yeah.
I don't know if he heard anything. I haven't heard anything.
We haven't heard anything. It's supposed to be, you know, he's supposed to talk with Coach P in the next couple of days, and I could see his being a lot longer process than Rager's was, just because he doesn't have the people around him that Jalen does. And, you know, he's got probably a little bit more unfinished business since he's only had two full seasons of playing. He missed a full year from the Achilles injury. So just a little bit less tape on him. But I mean, I could see him leaving. I hope he doesn't, but he's talented
enough. They're afraid now, can't they? They can get.
Yeah, he can ask for his grade. So he'll ask for his grade. It'll just take a little longer because, you know, whereas Reagor pretty much knew his grade coming out.
Well, I think Reagor was gone regardless, because I don't think Reagor wanted to stick around for another season, regardless of what his grade. I think Reagor believes he's top two rounds, you know. And, you know, and he very may well be. But I think with Blacklock, I think given – the propensity of Patterson in the past and how he's coached his defensive players when they're looking to go into the league, I bet you Patterson's been in his ear to say, you need one more year here. And it's not a selfish situation. It's for you. You need one more year to develop, dominate, and then you can go and get your money, because then you'll be up there in the draft.
Now, he had a bad last game, just the penalties, but, boy, he was awfully good this year.
Yeah, he was.
Right now, when they did not double team him, he wreaked havoc. Even when they double teamed him sometimes, he wreaked havoc. I mean, he in a lot of ways, he was our pass rush from the middle.
He was, definitely.
You really don't have that. Usually, you know, Patterson's team was on that, you know, it's going to be your defensive ends or, you know, maybe even some of his blitzing scheme. But, you know, they relied a lot on him. They relied a lot on him to – at one point in time, if you notice, when they went to three down linemen, they didn't take him out of the game. They put him at defensive end. He was one of the rushing ends. I mean, they took one of the defensive ends out and put and left him in. So, you know, I do. He's got a chance to be really, really good. I think now, next level, wherever, you know.
Yep, agreed.
He showed me a little something this year.
Well, in another position, staff position this time, that we don't quite yet know what's going to happen is offensive coordinator. So let's talk a little bit about that. What do you all think? What are your assumptions and or predictions for Sonny Cumbie?
Well, I just, you know.
I think that says it all right there.
I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, from just looking at it from the outside looking in, I'm on the outside. I don't know anything, but just watching the whole
And don't get me wrong, I'm all about – I've seen coaches get up in each other's face and get upset at each other. I mean, it's a – football's a passionate game, you know, and the coaches get passionate. But I just – man, some of the stuff I just didn't see it. I didn't see how a company needs – I really didn't. How a company'd stay or if Patterson wants him to stay. I could be dead wrong, though, but it just seemed like that to me. And on that, way back when you mentioned something about that that quarterback that they're recruiting, mm-hmm. I'm not so sure they wouldn't take a 2-for-1 deal and bring in a guy to OC it at least, or at least be co-OC. You know, I don't know who the co-OC is with Cubby right now. Who's that?
Looper.
You know, it, of course, if somebody else came in, then that means somebody'd have to go, or at least take take a demotion.
Right. So don't see that happening.
No.
You know what? And I guess the reason why they make it where the speculation is when your athletic director comes out and says, hey, whatever changes the head coach wants to make, we're behind, blah, 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 period. You know, so I just thought it was interesting that, you know, Jeremiah came out and said that. Maybe he got asked, but, you know.
Are you surprised that he came out publicly and said something, or are you surprised that he said what he said?
Well, publicly, and just the way he said it. I just feel like he just put it out there. Hey, if he thinks we need to make change, you know, there ain't no talking down or no nothing. I mean, let him make his change. You know, blow. You know, I just felt like, you know, he just said it that way, and that maybe he didn't. I don't know. I'm just a fan like everybody else, but it just seemed that way. I mean, you know. I know somebody else got to have an opinion on this. I mean, it's a tough deal. You know, because I tell you what. I mean, Sonny Cumbie, I know him as a person. He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. He's a great guy.
Even though he went to Tech.
But I agree with everything that's happened with the the play call this year. You know, that's another story, but he's a great guy. He's a good person. And, you know, and you talk about somebody, you know, and for us, all of us, we've all played college sports. We understand how hard it is. You get close to coaches and stuff like that. And you see things in the background that regular fans don't see. And, you know, you think you might be reading something into it and this and that, and crap, you're totally wrong. Or you might be totally right. And that's what's so hard about it. And I think that's why it's so hard for any of us to comment. I will say this. Something's got to change on the offense, whether it's your players get better, whether our playing calling gets better, whether we change some coaches. Something's got to change.
Shannon?
No, I'm just saying my two cents on the topic. Listen, it's a business. We know that. WC, you're right. You know, but, you know, I went through, 2 or 3 strength conditioning coaches, 2 DCs, you know, 2 head coaches. I mean, it's a business. And when you get attached to people, but at the end of the day, you know, what we're talking about and the anger we have is about winning or losing. And that's just that bottom line. It's about winning or losing. And the bottom line is, as coaches, I've heard coaches say before, I put my paycheck on the line. My paycheck's on the line because with the kids that I coach. And if my kids produce, they can get me fired. That's the bottom line. Yep. And so I think Coach P has to sit back, and I'm sure he's doing it, and he's checking every – hey, listen, we get evaluated, so do the coaches. The bottom line is it's his job to go down the list and see who produced, who didn't, and if it's worthy enough for that person to go, or if he can find better, or if something he can make some type of change. But we know – something has to be done, whether that's firing, whether that's new personnel, whether that's taking the reins out of his hands, putting somebody, whatever the case may be, something's got to happen, and some leadership has got to happen. So it is what it is. I don't want a man to get fired, but at the end of the day, if Coach Patterson decides to do that with any of his coaches, I have to back him on that because he's doing what's best for the team. And guess what? I'm a Horned Frog until I die, and I don't care about anything else but the Frogs winning. And we got it. And the goal now is get to the playoffs. It's winning the championship, Big 12, and getting to a playoff. That's where we are right now with our program. And we've got to have excellence from the top down to the bottom, and it just is what it is. That's business.
Yep. I agree with that.
Amen. Anybody else?
No. I'll say I didn't think I before this game I thought there's no way Cumbie's coming back either if we make a bowl because of him that I thought he would leave on his own or if we didn't I thought he'd be fired. Since that has not happened yet, I don't know that I see it happening. Just with recruiting where we're at, I just don't know that it's going to. I think that if they really wanted to make that change, they would have made it. Now, we'll see what happens in the – you know, we may bring someone in, but I just don't know that it's going to happen at this point because, you know, we've got 16 days till early signing day. You know, if we're going to do that, I think they would tell the new guys, hey, this guy's not going to be there. It's usually you have some people bring in their own – you know, some of their own recruits. And since that's not happened, I just don't know that it's going to.
Interesting. You think there's a chance that the co-offensive coordinator position becomes just offensive coordinator?
There's definitely a chance of that. But I just don't know that anyone is going to be leaving the staff. I think we could have additions, but I don't think Cumbie's gone.
Interesting.
Since it's not happened yet.
Yeah, well, that's true, and it hasn't, and that was something we talked about before we started recording the podcast, was that it was a little eerie that nothing has been done at this point, but you never know. I mean, Patterson did make it a pretty adamant point during his post-game press conference about how, you know, it's not the right thing to be making decisions when you're emotional. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. He didn't say it that way. He probably made two or three analogies about a duck crossing the road, but you get my point. It was an interesting press conference, but he did mention that, you know, he wasn't ready to actually make a decision at this point. So I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of almost feeling like you are, Hunter. The fact that he hasn't made a decision at this point, and it's been a couple of days since with early signing day. I mean, put it this way: if early signing day wasn't a thing, maybe he is gone by now.
Well, I want to say this and remind you guys now. Just because I've been in this boat a couple times. Like I said before, there's coaches in bowl games. We don't know, and this is all, you know, obviously we're speculating here, right? So we don't know who if he's going to make a decision, if that were. I don't think it's too early or too late because of the fact that there's a lot of coaches in bowl games right now. Mm-hmm. Now, in my heart of hearts, if I had to take a guess, I'd be like, no. But I don't – I've seen people come in at the last minute because here's the deal. Some of these coaches can bring in recruits with them. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys, these kids follow, they're good at recruiting. We can get some recruits. So it's willing and dealing time now. It's not too late. It's really perfect time. Conversations are being had right now. So, again, I'm with you guys. I don't feel that nothing will – I think there will be change. I just don't think nobody will be fired. But if he wants to do it, it's not too early to pull, not too late to pull that trigger because you just never know who he's talking to and what they may bring in with him.
For sure. And, I mean, you look at it this way. Someone could go, hey, Cumbie, do you want to come be the OC here? And he could maybe go, I'm done. I'm done with this. I don't want to do this. Right. I want my own offense, this and that. And he goes, all right, I'll go take a little pay cut and go get my career back on track.
And, you know, hey, let me tell you, he was a lot better coordinator when he had a couple other quarterbacks. And I don't mean that bad.
No,
he's a very young quarterback, and last year went through a triage of quarterbacks.
And still young with the one that started the year.
That's kind of your spot.
Yep.
You know, unless you got an offensive line that is so dominant that it don't matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, to have a freshman quarterback pretty much all year long and have that. When I say all that, you can't continue to allow your offense to sputter. But at the same time, I can see it coming in Patterson's. But he's thinking about it, thinking, well, you know, freshman quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Yep. You know, freshman this, blah, blah, that. You know, last year, how many quarterbacks did we go through?
Four.
Four, you know, three or four, you know. You know, that makes You know, that makes it a little tougher, you know. To,
it does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, going back to the comparisons again, Nathan brought up 2013. 2013, we had Boykin and Sawyer, right? And how many times did we all want to see Foster Sawyer instead of Boykin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh.
I mean, and you know, we lose everybody but Boykin, right?
Yep.
But we get Bram Kohlhauser.
And we brought in, what was his Jokel. Name from A&M? Jokel. We brought in a quarterback thinking he's going to take the job. We're going to move Rager back to receiver or something. And then, you know, he takes the Boykin. Biggest step he's taken. Yeah, Boykin.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Right. And he did. And this year we lose a couple of those guys that we thought might have been, you know, good quarterbacks or possible, you know, not necessarily replacement, I should say, but, you know, starters. And now we're left with another young quarterback that a lot of people are kind of scratching their heads. Is he the guy? And we get another big recruit coming in. Mm-hmm. And a couple of guys that are going to be, you know, that are here, haven't entered the transfer portal, so they want to be here. It's just an interesting parallel, once again, between the 2013 season. Maybe those are the kind of guys that help the quarterback situation next season.
Because even the 2013 one, we didn't know Trevon was going to be a starting quarterback in 2014 until that happened.
Until it happened.
Whichever game it was.
Kansas State.
First one, tell you, when they named him quarterback to start quarterback, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yep.
That was a rough spring, too.
Well, he was practicing at running back before that game.
Yep.
I mean, I thought there's no way. I cannot believe they're doing that. And they turned around and I was like, bro, I'm glad that they didn't hear me because I was stupid. Cause Boykin, woo! He turned it around.
Well, and I think this, too. You know, you look at LSU, the transformation they've had this year. People will look at that as the one, you know, oh, you bring one guy in and change the offense. Mm-hmm. Well, they also had a senior quarterback there that was, you know, he started a couple games at Ohio State, I believe, or played a bunch as a backup, and then he started a full season at LSU before all this happened. So, and LSU was just, they were average last year. They lost to A&M, so, I mean, they couldn't have been that good. And then you see how they did sucked. This year. Yeah, they couldn't have been that good. And then all of a sudden this year they get one guy, but they've also got a senior quarterback. They didn't change coordinators. So, you know, there's a lot that could happen in a year's time, and we've seen that before. So I think I think it could be Cumbie, but there could be some good things come out of that.
Yeah. So bright side, this team has a lot of upside.
Yep.
A lot of youth. Yep. Need to find some leaders. Need to get better on in certain positions, which of course, you know, has been the MO of this team for many, many years, even going back to the start of some of our better seasons, it's been the way that it is. But I don't think it's time for, you know, Frog fans. Obviously fans jump off ledges after seasons like this, but I don't see it. I don't see it as a disastrous season. I see it as a season of kind of like what could have been had we had some of those key leaders and key positions. Had some things kind of happen to us at certain parts that the ball just didn't bounce our way. But, you know, it was what it was. It was a team effort all the way around, and it was an interesting season. But unfortunately, the season has come to an end, and TCU will be missing the bowl game for the third time in 22 years. Hunter?
I've just got one last thing, and I feel like I'd be wrong if I didn't say it on here. We did have some bright spots, and the biggest ones, I just wanted to say, Trevon Morrig and Ardarius Washington, they're ranked the number 1 and 3 safeties in the country by PFF recently. Through the whole season, they were graded 1 and 3, and that's a true sophomore and a redshirt freshman. So there are a lot of bright spots on this team.
Wallow.
I mean, we're not talking just the conference. We're talking the country. They were just ranked the best 1 and 3 safety. So – you know, not everyone believes in the PFF metrics and stuff, but there's nothing to that. We've got some talent on this team.
Yeah, this defense is going to be interesting next season. We got some amazing talent coming back. And like you said, it's a young team. So who knows? I would hate to be, you know, a coach in the Big 12 trying to face this defense next season.
Mm-hmm. I think it can be an amazing offense. I think we're going to – I'm hoping that a year – when Duggan getting a year under his belt, man, that makes a huge difference.
Two good running backs about to step up too, and a bunch of receivers.
I mean,
good competition at the quarterback position too.
Three more wide receivers. I mean, we do. I mean, we still got a bunch of wide receivers. You know?
Well, and we're about to get Danny Gray from JUCO, who just tore up the whole country all season. So he's going to be day one ready.
I mean, you know, I'm just telling you, we got a lot of good things to look at. I mean, we're talking about losing most of our games by 7 points or less. You know, hey, that's why I tell people all the time when they ask me, how you feel? And I go, I feel terrible. I hate it. I said, but it's a love hate because you don't want to be blown out every game because then you know you're bad. You know, we were good enough to be in every game, and that you know, pretty much. And so that gives me faith that we're not too far away. And I think we're going to definitely have a better team next year than we do this year, especially at certain key spots on the team. And you know, I just, you know, but at the same time, it rips your heart out when you every week you're down to the very second. But that's what you got to love about Coach Patterson. And, I mean, the Frogs, they ain't going to quit. Never have they quit. You know, you go to the very end and then they rip your heart out at the end, or either you're really happy at the end. But I'm getting old, man. I'm going to start going to the heart doctor more.
Yeah. Heart medication seems to be on just a continuous renewal for me. That's why Shannon and I smoke so much. Right. Jeez, I tell you, it is one of those things. Before we take off tonight, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the passing of Coach Pat Sullivan, who was 69 years old. You know, great guy, great coach. And I know a lot of Frog fans, obviously, you know, they with the way that season ended for him, but he went on a high note. And I know, Shannon, players absolutely loved him.
Yeah.
There was no ill will for Coach Sullivan at all. And I know that when he came back here, TCU a few years back, I know a lot of players made it a point to go, a lot of ex-players made it a point to go seek him out and spend time with him. So, amazing guy, amazing coach, and we are all very, very saddened to hear that he has passed away this last week.
That was a hard one. You know, everybody, it's been good to see the post. I put out a video tonight because I'm not the wordy guy. I just want to speak my heart about the situation. But the bottom line is, I wouldn't be a Horned Frog if it weren't for Coach Sullivan. The situation I was in. It meant a lot to me that he gave me his word that he would hold a scholarship for me as long as it took for me to handle my business, to get my decision ready, because TCU was not on my radar. I was a high recruit, but I started taking my tests late and all that stuff. But he told me, listen, I will wait for you as long as it takes. And he looked me in my eyes and I felt it. And then that's when I took my visit to TCU. I'd never been on TCU, never thought about it, never opened up a letter from him. And when I went over there, everything that he told me about TCU was true. And that week I signed. And that's because of him. It's solely because of him and the words and the things he encouraged me and the things that he told me. And he honored his word. He honored his word for a semester. And I signed, you know, that was early on in the spring. And I came in. I said, you know what? This is where I need to be. So prayers go out to him and his family. He fought as long as he could fight. And it's ironic that he died from, you know, throat cancer, whatever it was, because his favorite slogan was, we're going to hit him in the throat. We're going to hit him right in the freaking throat. And we all, you know, he's loved by many. And so, again, keep his family in your prayers. It's a bad loss for us.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, I think we have come to the end of the podcast. Quick little programming note. This will be the last podcast for 2019. We're going to take a little bit of a break here in December, spend some time with our family and loved ones, and we will pick it back up at the beginning of 2020 with heavy political talk. No, joking.
No,
we're not doing that. We're all voting Purple Party. Anyway, so moving on, I want to thank everybody out there who's listening to us for 2019. Of course, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts. I promise I will get through the ending this week. You can also go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account. And of course, you can find Killer Frogs on all the social media networks. We're on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, pretty much anywhere you can find Killer Frogs. You can go ahead and look us up. With that, we've come to the end of the podcast and the end of 2019. Guys, it's the point in the podcast where we get the frogs up and we get to say,
go Frogs.
Go Frogs. Beat Cal. So
there's no way Big 12's getting in the championship game.
No way.
No, not a chance.